What decision can you make right now in this situation so that your children don't have to make the same decision when they're in your shoes? Like, what can you do right now to make sure you're not repeating the same patterns for your children? You're listening to the In This Together podcast with Dr. Josh and Christy Straub, a podcast dedicated to helping you live, love, and lead well as a spouse, a parent, and a human.
Because no matter where you're at in your journey, you're not alone. We're in this together.
Welcome back to the In This Together podcast. We today are talking about a topic I brought up on the episode a few weeks ago about genograms. And I think one of the reasons we're talking about it is because it is so powerful. It's such a powerful look into our family history and why we are the way that we are. So you hear us talk about becoming parents, becoming adults that we want our kids to become. And in Exodus, Moses writes that the sins of the fathers are passed from the third to the fourth generation, but blessing to the thousandth generation of those who love me and seek my commands. And not me, but God, that's what he says. So anyway, like, you know, it's that idea that when we truly, like, if we're not paying attention to what's happening in our family history, there are relational dynamics that are passed down from generation to generation that we carry into relationship with our kids and maybe even into our marriage, well, actually into our marriage, and we don't even recognize it. It's like we're not aware of it. It's subconscious or unconscious to us.
But what's amazing is the more you sit in circles and talk with people, you'll start to hear stories where people realize they're repeating the same things. They're repeating the same patterns. They'll see themselves with their parents, you know, they'll see themselves doing the same things that their parents did to them, whether that be emotional, spiritual, if there's relational patterns. It really is amazing how much we absorb from our environment, and it's the people in that environment that we absorb it from. And so this is a really, I hadn't done a genogram until I was in grad school as well. And it was super powerful. We actually did it even just again recently, when we were at on-site. And it is amazing and so insightful to look into your own family, especially at people. It's interesting what you know about your family and also the blanks. You'll realize where there's just holes, and you'll kind of sit there for a second wondering, why don't I know anything about, you know, Uncle so-and-so or Grandma or Grandpa? Why? And it could be there's a reason for that. And it's just a really helpful, helpful tool. I would encourage everyone to sort of lean in, because we can learn so much about ourselves through a genogram. So that's what we're talking about today.
So what is a genogram? A genogram is basically a family tree where you, like for me, for instance, one of the things that you do is look pretty much like three generations back. So what you would do is you would go back and you would start with maybe your grandparents, and you would look at the relationships that your grandparents had, you know, marriage, divorce, remarriage, that type of thing. And then you go down into your parents, and then outward into your aunts and uncles, and then come down into your generation with you and your siblings. And what you can also do then is put down your kids and your siblings' kids, your nieces and nephews. And basically what you're doing as you're doing this, you're doing circles. And what we can do is I'll post some links to genogram websites where you can kind of get a feel for what they actually look like, and you can see them laid out. But basically what you're doing is you're putting a circle for a woman, you're putting a square for a man, and you're drawing lines. And for instance, a double line might mean that there's a close relationship there between people. In my genogram, for instance, one of the things that I noticed was that my sister had a very close relationship with my paternal grandmother, and so there was a double line there. Or that I had a close relationship with my maternal grandfather, and so I put a double line there. Ironically enough, his name is Landon, and our son's name is Landon. So when you look at some
it's
of these,
not really ironic.
Well,
that?
Yeah. Well, it's just when you look at these, when you look at these dynamics, you're like, okay, like you begin to see, you begin to see these things. And I want to make sure to, and the reason this is so critical for us. So let me go back just for a minute, because in my, when I first did a genogram, I was, it was one of my very first counseling classes in my master's degree program. And it was marriage and family. And we were asked to do a genogram early on. And what I found out as I laid all of the relationships out on paper and I started to look at them, I realized that, so there's a line that you draw from like your husband to your, to the husband to the wife. And if there's a divorce, there's a double little like cross, like line that goes into like
slash marks.
Yeah, slash marks to like represent a divorce. And what I realized is there were, and this was back when I did it, let me see, 2003, I think, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, I'm counting 12 divorces from grandparents to aunts and uncles to parents. Like, it was, divorce was just absolutely rampant in my family. And I went, wow, like, And then when you start to do a genogram, you actually look at deeper things. So what are personality patterns? So for instance, and I'll post this in the show notes, but you know, there's some, you know, you look at maybe, you look at emotional relationships. So, you know, I talked about family relationships already. You look at, you know, was it a legal cohabitation? Was it a marriage? Was it a divorce? Was it a legal separation? Was there an engagement in separation? Was there cohabitation? Was there a love affair, right? And then you have emotional relationships. You know, I already mentioned friendship, like a close relationship is a double line. You know, was there a distant or poor relationship? Was there an indifferent or apathetic relationship? Was there a hostile relationship? Was there violence? Was there physical abuse? Was there hate or discord or conflict or distrust? You know, and you label these emotional relationships throughout the genogram. And one of the other things you might look at too are looking at addiction or medical conditions like drug abuse or alcoholism or depression or cancer or heart disease. And what you can do is you can also look at the positives. You can look at hobbies or interests or jobs. You know, are we from a lineage of doctors or lawyers or farmers or, you know, and when you look at it, you begin to see these patterns come alive and you go, wow, this is part of the reason I am who I am. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I found deeper than a divorce were relationship patterns that you could argue, and I wrote a whole paper on it at the time, which was fascinating for me and helpful for me, of looking at the potential relational dynamics that we're carrying from generation to generation that one could argue maybe led to the cause of those divorces. And for me to then, it was out of that genogram, doing that genogram, that back then I entered 2 years of therapy and just started looking at how my own family lineage started to impact who I was and who I wanted to be as a husband and father one day.
And I think until we take time, you don't have those insights, right? Until you took time to put it on paper and actually look at it in black and white. There's just certain holes in your story that maybe you've not connected. I think for me, I started to see patterns in the women in my family and how much I actually take after them in the ways we cope with certain things in our coping mechanisms. And we talk about, you've heard us talk a lot about like self-medicators and the way we cope with life, with hard things. If there has been, you'll just notice there's patterns the way like I do that the way that she did and the way that she did. And that's not necessarily good nor bad, but it is helpful to have that information. And if we don't have it, then we're kind of just winging it really through our life. And we're talking about history being the greatest teacher. It really can show us such deep insights into how we're made up, not necessarily like Josh is saying that because therefore we go this way. It's so we can make changes. Healthy changes, proactive changes.
Well, and I think because the reality is we either parent the way our parents parented us or we parent the exact opposite way without thinking about it because we don't like the way our parents parented us. And it just comes out of like...
And the same was true, just the way we live our life, the choices we choose, where we... Almost the mindset in which we approach life because it is so we don't even see it because it's literally just the filter, the lens through which we see the world. And it's really helpful to do a zoom out approach to look at, wow, there really was. And this is making this sound really negative, but you know, you can say there really was brokenness, or like, wow, look at these people. Like, look at the health that they had. Look at the way they lived their life. I want to follow that. Mm. What did they choose that helped them? You know, look at their family lineage, look at the health of their relationships. It has so much to teach us.
Oh, so much to teach us. And I think there's a positive and negative to this. And I think that's one of the things. So I started by talking about the divorce in my family, right? And I think what's fascinating about this, so let me preface all of this conversation by saying what we're doing is we're not looking back and blaming our parents. Mm. We're blaming our grandparents for the sins of the fathers that were passed from third and fourth generation, or for the brokenness that we experienced. Every single human being is broken to some capacity. And I believe therapy is not for crazy people. It's for
healthy
people who are broken. It's for broken people. And we're all broken. Every person is broken in some capacity or another because we're part of a fallen world. And so therefore, I think all of us could benefit from some level of therapy in our lives at some point along the journey.
100%.
And so what this does is it allows us to be able to have open, honest conversations with our parents, with our family, to say, you know what, or maybe your parents aren't healthy enough to have these conversations with, or they're not going to completely understand. That's okay, because forgiveness only requires one person. And the reality is unforgiveness, you may have heard it said throughout the years that unforgiveness is like drinking poison, expecting the other person to get sick. And the reality is that if we're the ones getting sick, mm-hmm. by not forgiving, mm-hmm. and not recognizing it. And I think that's where we have to say, okay, let's recognize these patterns. Let's go to one, for instance. So we wrote the book, What Am I Feeling? And I think there's a lot of times, I think this is what we're finding as it relates to the book, What Am I Feeling? The children's book, is that it's impacting so many parents, because parents are realizing the emotions that they might be afraid of because of their past and because of the things that they carried into their relationship with their kids.
And I think what's so powerful about that is just sitting with moms and dads who are recognizing, like, this has been great for my kids and I've seen it help. But honestly, like, can I just tell you, like, it's like woken me up to recognize I don't know this stuff. Like, it was not allowed in my home. Maybe my parents were cool with me, meaning they approach emotions from a very apathetic, almost standoffish point. So I've just learned that I don't feel like, and that's what you're supposed to do.
Or we live in a culture that says, suck it up. Like, yeah. Just get over it. Come on. Like, let's move forward. Like, get on with it. Like, don't be pouting around, especially to men. That's a lot of the message we get. But I think we do it to our girls too.
Yeah. And starting to recognize that, first of all, they're repeating the same patterns. And there's a fear there that, like, I want this for my kids. Like, I recognize I want them to live a full life. I want them to come to me. I want them to come to me when they're teenagers and they're going through hard things. But I realize I dismiss them now as young kids because I can't handle their emotions. And it's not necessarily the kids' emotions. They're recognizing it's triggering something in them. They're not okay. They're not okay with their own emotions. So they're not okay with the barrage of emotions coming at them from their kids. It feels too much. And there's a lot of us who, we've talked about this so many times, especially with What Am I Feeling? But that really is becoming the main topic of conversation when we're talking about this book. Is it's really not about the kids. It's really about us, because we start to recognize where we have holes. And that is what I am most excited about, because the kids, you see this genuine intent from parents. They really do want this for their kids, but they're recognizing there is work they have to do. And it's hard. It's hard to feel like you're coming in almost like a child, in a childlike state, because it's hitting so many tender places in you where it's, I don't want to feel that. I don't want to feel angry. I don't want to feel bitter. I don't want to feel the sadness. I've shut that down my whole life. And my parents taught me that that was good. And that's really what was ideal. And now I'm realizing I'm living apathetically. I'm not really living at all. Hmm. And people are starting to step into that. And I couldn't be more grateful to the Lord for the work he's doing.
Yeah. And I would say to approach this as you do a genogram. So first of all, what are some to-do steps? Like, I think the first thing to do is go to the show notes, look at the examples that we have, and take a look at doing your own genogram. Just sit down on a piece of paper.
And it's not hard.
No, it's not hard at all. Like, it's one piece of paper.
It's literally, I mean, just take a pen and...
There's apps for it now, too. You could download and
buy an app for that. I'm sure there's...
Put your genogram together. Well, you can. And
I'm sure there's an app for that. But it's so... It's just one of those things that it's like, it's just so useful to have. And really interesting, because yours is going to be obviously completely separate from your spouse if you're married. And even the insight you have into each, like, it's stuff you don't really talk about. It's stuff that, like, oh, I never told you that my grandfather was unemployed for, you know, and think of the impact of that. Like, to actually look back at the people in our family that caused trouble at holidays and, you know, annoy us with their little habits, but they have lives and history
stories.
And stories that we know not of until we actually, like, kind of press in and you just start to ask the question, like, why did he go to, you know, where did that come from?
Well, like, then you start to have empathy for those people, and you start to have empathy for even more people, even in the context of your family, and you start to see the why behind where you're at. And so I think from the standpoint of do a genogram, take a look at it, and then start to see where maybe some of your own patterns of feelings and emotions, or your fear of certain emotions, or shutting down certain emotions, maybe where that's coming from, and how you're treating, how you're speaking to your kids, how you're speaking to your spouse, where, you know, some of that might come from, and how it influenced, how you were influenced by how you were raised, and who you grew up around, and who influenced you and your story. And I think that's the power of this, is what we're doing is we're looking at our stories. Mm-hmm. And so as we journey here, what I want to do is I want to take a small break, because if you haven't heard about What Am I Feeling, we want to tell you about it right now.
Did you know that a child's ability to put words to what she is feeling is linked to both success and faith later in life?
That's because the more self-aware we become about what we're feeling, the better able we are to manage our behavior and make good decisions.
That's why we wrote What Am I Feeling? A new children's book that brings parents and children together to talk about emotions.
It's show and tell day at school, and Sam and his friends are feeling lots of emotions.
After several unchecked feelings threaten to ruin the big day, Sam and his friends start to learn how to give each emotion a name and ask God to help them remember that a feeling is just a feeling. It's not in charge of you.
In a world where kids are dealing with everything from sibling rivalry to bullying, divorce to tragedy, What Am I Feeling offers a biblically grounded way for kids to manage big feelings in a little body and develop empathy for others.
Check the show notes today to order What Am I Feeling, releasing March 1st.
So the big reason that we really love emotion and talk about emotion is because we see it neurobiologically, but also spiritually, really be the thing that help us come alive. And so we wrote a Bible study called Homegrown, Cultivating Kids in the Fruit of the Spirit, because it's that living out, it's living out and living in the Spirit, walking in the Spirit of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, goodness, and self-control. And as we live that out in our family story, there's a degree to which we, as we have more insight, you know, Proverbs says that, you know, the beginning of wisdom is the fear of God, right? That a house is built on wisdom, understanding, and insight. And that idea that when we have understanding and insight into our own story, it brings about a wisdom and decisions that we can therefore make in our own story that are honoring to God. and that lead us to love God and love others even more because we have an empathy for what's happening, and we can we're more able to forgive. But I think as we journey there, I want to talk about it as it relates to marriage, because I think you can see, at least I saw, very, very powerful patterns in the marriages in my family lineage that I was carrying in, even to dating relationships at the time that I did the genogram, that no doubt in my mind, had I not gone to therapy and not looked at my own stuff, would have highly led me to divorce as well in my dating relationships.
It wouldn't have been me.
No. No, you wouldn't have liked me.
It's interesting. We talk about this actually quite often. Yeah, I totally wouldn't have married you.
You might have. That was a pretty good looking guy.
You had a mullet in high school.
That's true. Not in high school. I think it was in middle school. I might have still had it in high school, but I'm not sure.
I don't know.
I got braces.
Oh my
gosh. I got fixed up.
He had those like Coke bottle glasses. Like he literally was blind as a bat. It was.
I was a stud.
Yeah. That's one way to say it. Oh, sweet baby. But it is amazing to watch the relational patterns. And especially, I think, for us as women, it's so easy to pick up sort of how we mother, how we wife. Is that a verb? Not really, but how we, from those around us. And it's typically our mom. It's typically our grandparents. It's, you know, our grandmas. And until we like take a step back and actually look at, I mean, and there's good and bad in that. There's great, like there's such blessing and good in that when you're coming from, now I don't come from a family where, I mean, divorce has touched us for sure. I think it has literally every family on the planet, but it's not as.
It's not in your immediate family that you would write in your genogram.
Right. But it is, but there's always stuff, right? So even in the, you know, in the healthiest of marriages, my parents have been married over 40 years and there is such wisdom and beauty. And there's just like all of us, I mean, you just have stuff too, right? All of us do. And so to be able to look at relational dynamics and even in your aunts and uncles, I think that's been really interesting as well, because you realize there's so much of you in them and them in you.
Well, and I think too, even as it relates to how we treat one another. So it's not like our marriage is perfect by any stretch of the imagination, because there's things that you carried into our marriage that I got healed and fixed and you hadn't.
I knew you were going to say that.
And so I'm like, you know, trying to fix you in the middle of all this.
Yeah, redeem
this. This is helpful for you.
Yeah.
But even for me though, the way that I would react to Christy in certain ways based upon the way that I was raised or the way that my maybe my mom reacted to me growing up, and it caused something within me, an emotional response. In therapy or in counseling world, we call them conditioned emotional responses. They're hardwired into our brain to be that reaction to whenever we feel like, oh my goodness, like you are, I'm just going to use this as an example, but like right now, Christy, I'm feeling like you're emasculating me. Like you're telling me that I am, I don't have what it takes. You're telling me, you're sending me the message that I'm not working hard enough, or that I can't work hard enough, or whatever that message is that I'm like feeling from Christy in the ways that she's. And to be honest, like, so I'm getting that reaction, but the reaction is coming from the way she's speaking to me, because for her, she's feeling something inside of her that is being triggered from her own story.
Right.
And she's got her conditioned emotional response to respond to me in whether it's a condescending way or in a sharp, short way.
This is totally hypothetical.
Just
so you know.
And so what it does is it triggers within me my conditioned emotional response.
Right.
And we have had to, throughout the years, have made a communication about our communication. And I think that is where, when we talk about...
That's been powerful for us.
Yeah. We're going to do an episode on emotionally safe marriage here in a couple weeks. And where we're going to talk about that. Like, what does it look like to have communication about your communication? And why are these feeling words so critically important as it relates to your marriage?
And what's interesting about that is that it's not as hard as we think it is. It's just new. If it's not something you've done before, you don't know to talk about it. And that's where we want to talk about it, because that has been one of the, I would say, can I say easiest switches to make? But it wasn't until we started talking about it. Like, we had to just start doing it, and then you realize, oh, this was, if we had done this a long time ago, this could have solved a lot of problems.
But at the same time too, there's so many components to it, right? Yes. So, I mean, that's why the genogram is so critically important, because you're actually looking into why you have these conditioned emotional responses, why you have these responses that are hardwired in your brain to respond the way that you are. And then you get in this dance and you get into the same cycle over and over again. And if you can share your genograms with one another in your marriage,
I was just going to say that,
and you can start to unpack what is going on in the story,
yeah,
you start to see, like, wow, there are a lot of positives and a lot of negatives to who we are and where we're coming from.
But you also start to see greater insight into your spouse that sometimes even they can't see, because again, it's the filter through which they see their life. Like, it's just their lens. And you can start to see, you're like, oh yeah, Uncle Jimmy, like, do you not see how you are
cray cray?
Yeah. But do you see how, like, Uncle Jimmy and Grandpa were like, you know, and don't do that. I see, you know, I see elements of that in you. And that's, I'm not saying this is what we say. That's like a very, but to have, like, you'll just have light bulbs come on where it's like, oh, I see that. It's interesting. That makes sense for him. That's, I see his tendency toward that. And it's also, it really creates like a tenderness, I think, when you start to recognize there are just built-in ways in which we are, for our strengths, like for our great things, and there are built-in ways that we have like a hardwired weakness for certain things. And it's just so wonderful to peer into the backside of a person.
Well, I think whenever
that sounded really weird.
Wow.
That's not what I meant.
I'm going to take that and run with it.
No, but like,
she's looking at the backside of people, and it's wonderful for her.
Wow. It's to see behind the scenes, like behind the curtain is what,
like,
I'm trying,
like,
to say.
Like, if lust is an issue in your family, stop, and it's passed, Josh, down through the genogram generations.
Stop. That is not what I mean. You know what I mean.
Well, let's go here. Passive aggressiveness. Let's just say that there's passive aggressiveness in your family.
And that's a rampant one.
Now we're talking about holidays, and we're talking about the issues in our marriage, because we feel like, you know, there's this underlying, like, when are you going to come home? You know, when are you going to come visit? Or what do you get? You know, what are you going to? And but it's not spoken. It's not direct. It's this, you know, there's comments, there's text messages, or whatever it looks like.
But typically, if you've grown up in that environment, you repeat those patterns. It's all you know.
You're repeating those patterns, but you're also, your spouse is experiencing it in your, so now all of a sudden it becomes tension in your marriage because you're seeing it. But whereas when it comes alive and you see it for what it is on paper, now all of a sudden you can have healthy conversation around it to say, you know what, and this was a big thing for me, was I wanted to be able to look at this, and I wanted to do, as my friend Frank describes, a time machine moving forward. So I, you know, you jump in and fast forward. And one of the things he would tell me is what decision can you make right now in this situation so that your children don't have to make the same decision when they're in your shoes? Like, what can you do right now to make sure you're not repeating the same patterns?
Right.
For your children. So this is a critical moment to make this decision in a way where you're saying, I'm not going to let my kids see me wrestle with a decision like this or be swayed by a certain passive aggressiveness or whatever that looks like. Instead, I want my children to see me act on behalf of the way God is calling me to lead my family and lead our family and what that looks like. And so,
and I ultimately think that's also what we would want them to do in that situation.
Yeah. What do we want our kids to do in that situation?
Because there's a lot of this stuff we just don't want to pass down to them. We felt it. We've lived it. We don't like what that
feels
like.
So pull yourself out and think about it. Put your kids in your situation and say, what advice would you give to your children in that moment? Mm-hmm. Because our kids become who we are. And so I also want to say this. So one of the things our premarital counselors did for us, Victor and Peggy Henson, shout out to Victor and Peggy Henson on the podcast. Amazing.
I love them with every bit of me.
they had us do an exercise, and I would encourage you guys to do this exercise as you do a genogram, is find the three things in your family lineage that you want, the three positive things you want to pull into your marriage and your family that you found in your family lineage through your genogram. What are the three positives you're saying, we want to carry forward this family tradition, this family, this part of who our family was? And then find three negative things that you don't want to. The three things that you go, yeah, maybe it was this passive aggressiveness or this tendency to shut down anger and not allow anger or negative feelings in our family or whatever that looks like. Like, what are the three things that you see in your, and then talk to your spouse about that. Like, what are those three things that you say, you know what, I need to stop this from my family lineage, and I see myself doing it, and I want to make sure that I stop doing that. Because that's using those I statements is very non-threatening, and you can sit down with your spouse and you can look at your family lineages and just kind of look at it in a way where you're going, this is my story, and here's where I want to champion my story, and here's where I want to autocorrect.
Edit
my story.
And it is really powerful, because you, even just making, like pulling out things like that, you start to realize I have more control over my life and my story than I think I do sometimes. I may react initially in the way that I was sort of conditioned to, but I really do have choices, and my life doesn't have to look the way that anyone really else says that it is. I get to make those choices, but so often we become victims of the circumstances, either in which we were raised or which we're living now, and that it doesn't have to be. And so I just highly encourage you all, I know there's pain here often, and sometimes the stories we don't want to revisit are the ones that need it so desperately. The hardest ones are probably the most wounding ones are obviously the hardest ones to look at. And I just, you know what, even as I close, I just want to pray over all of you, because I think this is, it's just such a powerful stake in the ground for all of us to make, that we're kind of taking, we're taking charge of our lives, and we're going to allow God to lead and heal in places and just bring darkness to light.
And but before you pray, there's a story that I want to tell about the genogram that I think is very powerful. So I did the genogram a number of years ago, and one of the things I found was with my paternal grandfather. So my dad's dad, he was only 64 when he died, and he died of cancer at 64, but he had many relationships. So he and my grandmother divorced, I think, when my dad was around similar age to me when my parents divorced. I think he was around 12 when that happened. And throughout the rest of his life, he had dated or lived with, in fact, I think there was only one that he remarried, but he had lived with multiple other women. And I had just seen his story, and there was almost passivity in relationships, like the emotional dismissiveness in some respects. And so as I studied his story, I started to look at this, and I started to go, wow, like there's a part of his story that I'm like, no, I want to be committed to one woman. Like, I want to stay committed. I want to be emotionally available to her. I don't want to be passive. I want to be, you know, I want to lead well. And so there was one particular night, and my grandfather, I remember him growing up, he would come in and out of, it wasn't like we were super close, but he would come in and out of our lives. And I remember him showing up, and every time he'd show up, it'd usually be a Saturday morning or something, and he'd be coming into town to get a haircut or whatever. And he'd always bring us a toy or a dollar or something. And he told jokes. I mean, he was so funny. Like, he was a lively personality. Like, you could just tell he was the kind of guy you really wanted to be around. And it wasn't long ago, I would say maybe a year ago now, within the last year, I had a very vivid dream of my grandfather. And I dream a lot. I had this very vivid dream of my grandfather. And I was playing baseball. We were playing softball. And I remember he got a hit. And He's like running around and he gets a double and he's standing on second base and he's just like cheering. And I actually wrote this whole dream down because it was so vivid, and he's cheering and he's dancing and everybody's having a great time. And it was just this very joyful dream of playing softball with my grandfather and everybody laughing and having a good time. And I never played softball with him. Like, I don't even know if he played softball. My dad did. My dad and I had very vivid memories. Like, that was one of our greatest memories, was playing baseball and softball together. So now my grandfather's in this dream. And I woke up the next morning and I was happy and I was just going, what is this about this dream? And I remember calling my pastor and I'm having a conversation with him and I was telling him about the dream. And he said, Josh, he said, sometimes the Lord wants us to remember not just the bad things that are passed from generation to generation, but he wants us to soak in the blessing. Because the Bible says not only is the curse passed from the third and fourth generation, blessing to the thousandth generation of those who love me and seek my commands. And it was this blessing of joy passed into my family, passed into my life, where it was like, Josh, you know, his interpretation of the dream was, I think God is trying to tell you that that there's a joy in your family lineage, that's a blessing that has been passed down, and he wants you to walk in that joy. He wants you to experience that joy. He wants you to joke around and have fun and be the one who's allowing your kids to laugh and have fun as well. And so I want to leave you with that today, because I think there's this sense of, if we do a genogram, we're always looking at the negative. And the reality is that's just not true. Our family, sure, we're broken. We're all broken because we're part of a fallen world. But there's going to be a day where I literally get to play softball with my grandfather in heaven, because he's experiencing that right now with my dad. And they're rejoicing with Jesus. And I get to be there one day doing the exact same thing with them, where I'll be reunited with them and the brokenness will be gone. Mm-hmm. The brokenness. And if we can heal our brokenness here on earth and we can press into it, we are doing the very prayer that Jesus taught us to pray. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And may we do that in our individual stories as we carry forth our story into our kids' lives and into that story that we have with our spouse.
Father, I just pray for every family, for every man, woman, child that happened to listen to this episode, Lord. I pray the grace of the Father over their lives, over their story, over their history. Lord, I pray for the courage and the bravery to press in and to look back into the places that might cause pain and hurt, into the stories that have caused wounding and brokenness. But Lord, I just pray the grace to see your goodness. I pray the grace to see the goodness in the lives of the people that you have allowed in their lineage. Just as you had brokenness, you allowed so much brokenness in Jesus' lineage, Father. You allow it in ours. You allow us choice. You allow us to choose unwisely. And yet you always welcome us back with open arms. May we be the people that also forgive and welcome back those that have wronged us, that have hurt us, that have maybe have feel like we have been set up on a bad footing, that we got the short end of the stick. But Lord, I thank you that you cover all of this. I pray the kingdom of God over these families. I pray your provision, your guidance, your blessing. I pray your healing over them right now, Lord, as they press into their genogram and their stories, as they step into emotions and things, maybe relationships and the healing of relationships that they would rather just sweep under the rug. Father God, would you heal in the dark places? Would you bring light into those crevices that have been shut down and hidden and kept from the light for so long? Would you do the work that only you can do to redeem all things for your good and your glory? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Until next week, press in and enjoy the moments.
We love you.
Check out InThisTogetherPodcast.com for previous episodes and to subscribe. If you have a question or a topic that you'd love us to cover, hit the submit button there on the page.
And we would also love if you would leave us a review. Your reviews mean so much to us and help others learn about the podcast. You can also find us on Instagram or Facebook. And for coaching and speaking inquiries, visit our website at drjoshandchristy.com.
Until next time, press in and live in the moment.